Thank you again, church, for having us. I appreciate it so much. And it is such an honor to be able to open the Word of God before you and to trust Him that what I say will be what His Spirit desires me to say. So this morning I am going to be opening us up with Psalm 93. But before we do that, I'd just like to open with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we pray that you speak today. Lord, open our hearts, open our minds, unblock our ears, Lord, to what you would have us hear, to know, to feel today, Lord. Particularly as we dive into your Psalms, Lord, where we're invited to feel these emotions, to wrestle and to come before you as your people. Knowing that we have a God, a King who listens, who is active and involved in his people's life, who does not just sit back, Lord. I pray, Lord, today that you would use your word powerfully in our lives to impact our lives, not just today, but for all days to come, Lord. And we pray this in your Son's precious name. Amen. So join with me as I read Psalm 93. I'm reading from the NIV version. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord, the seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. Now, I am on a tight schedule because we have food cooking and I need to keep your attention, and I know that will be hard with the food. So, but to kick things off, I would like a group exercise. So, those who would have been the original audience for Psalms would have done this, proclaimed this together. So, what I want us to do as a group is we are going to say, "The Lord reigns." Okay? So, on the count of three, the Lord reigns. One, two, three. The Lord reigns. Okay, now we're going to do it again. All right? One, two, three. The Lord reigns. But does he? In 2014, Mel and I moved to London. And whilst we were there for about a month. And we thought it would be quite easy to just settle in, get jobs. Turned out it was actually a lot harder than what we thought. So the first month we moved into a house, we didn't have jobs to be paying for this house. We were living off savings. It was in a dodgy part of London. It was a share house with two other people. And as I said, we hadn't found work and my registration wasn't going through. And as the more and more I started talking to the registration authority for nursing was that I wouldn't get my registration. So we had no friends, we had no church, we had money that was quickly disappearing, and the chances of the jobs that we'd come over thinking that we would have and furthering our careers was disappearing. So as you normally do when you're young and you're running out of money, we decide to go on a holiday to Portugal. Wisdom. And whilst we were there, we went out for dinner, another great thing to do when you're running out of money. But we were talking about our future, and it was this talk had really got me down because things were bleak. And we were walking back to where we were staying, and I thought I'd take a shortcut through a garden path, and Mel was going following the path. I tripped over one of the garden hedges sprawled out in this garden. I must have been laying there for some time because Mel came over to check if I was okay. And when I was laying there, when she found me, I was sobbing. Tears streaming down my face. Because in that moment, I'd had this insight into it, behind my emotional defenses All my fears and insecurities had come crashing down on me. Everything had changed, and I felt completely out of control. I felt lost, scared, alone. Outside of Mel, all the things I knew that I found assurance in, such as family or friends or sport or work or church, they were all back in Australia. Everything had changed, and I felt like I was drowning and I couldn't see God. Does the Lord reign? Does he reign in the darkness? Does he reign in the hardest times, in those pits of despair? And I think we all face times in life when we feel out of control or out of our depth, when we feel that the troubles of life are overwhelming us, overcoming us, and we cannot get out. Perhaps in a room this size filled with this many people, there are bound to be people struggling. Whether it be at work, maybe you've lost your job, maybe you're struggling in your job, maybe it's a job you hate, or it's at home and things aren't great in your marriage. Things aren't great with the kids. Perhaps you can't have kids. Maybe you're struggling with illness, whether in yourself or a family member. Maybe someone close to you recently has died. Maybe there's depression, anxiety in your life, and you don't know how to deal with it, and you cannot see God. You cannot see him reigning in your life right now. There are so many things in life that will throw us into chaos and cause us to feel like we are drowning, when we can't even see the presence of God, let alone his reign. And as I said, when we think about the original audience, though, who would have proclaimed this as a collective, as a people, we think of Israel, who would have proclaimed this after being torn out of their land and thrown into exile. They would have proclaimed this under Roman oppression. They would have proclaimed this. The early church would have proclaimed this psalm as a group amidst persecution, torture, and death. Amidst the chaos and confusion of life, they declared that the Lord reigns. He is king. And this is a joyous proclamation. Joyous amidst suffering, amidst confusion and chaos. And they grounded it in who God is, in who we know God is. Look at verse 1 with me. He's not like that of earthly kings and queens who dress themselves up in fine ornamental clothing. He's not like the celebrities of today's age who have to wear the best to maintain their status. No, God, the Lord who reigns, his robes are his majesty. He doesn't adorn himself in anything to try to appear more than what he is. His very nature, his being, his indwelling splendor declares, announces him as the Lord who reigns. And he's not like the kings or presidents or prime ministers of the world that whose might is simply based on how big their armies are. But he is a king who by his own might, the strength of his arm, established the world and holds it firm and secure. Do you see what this is saying? Verse 1 reveals that God's reign isn't just over us as a people, but over every aspect of creation. His authority and reign is revealed to us through creation. The world spin, the sun rises and it sets. Molecules combine to create life because God, the King of heaven and earth, sustains and enables it to do so. It is God that holds the planets in place. He reigns on a cosmic scale. And then we look at verse 2. His reign has been for eternity. Try and wrap your heads around that. He has reigned for eternity, where we believe everything, you know, starts and ends. His reign has forever been. This isn't a new thing. He's not a conquering king who came in and established his reign. It has always been. Long ago, before creation of time, the world, the universe, he is from all eternity. There is no other like him. None greater, none more worthy of our praise, none more worthy of the throne. And the psalmist uses language in these first two verses to reveal this eternal, ongoing, and universal rule of God. Nations and kingdoms have risen and fallen. Kings and queens, prime ministers and dictators have come and gone, and yet God continues to reign. The unchangeable nature of who God is, his being, is what brings lasting stability to the universe. It remains because the Lord reigns, just as he always has done. Yet, despite this reality, life is filled with hardship. It is filled with things that prompt us to question God's reign. We ask, if God reigns, then why is there suffering in the world? If he holds everything together, then why am I struggling? Why is my life in chaos and everything seems to be falling apart? Notice verse 3. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Now, in ancient literature, particularly Old Testament, and it continues into New Testament, we see the seas or oceans or waves representing chaos. Threatening forces that look to disrupt our lives and disrupt God's reign. The psalmist recognizes that there is chaos in the world, that chaos rises up in our lives and against God and shouts against his authority. We live in a world that has been plunged into chaos through sin and now rebels against God. Life with its hurt is a rebellion against God, against his intention for us, his people. Things that look to overcome us, to drag us down and drown us in a sea of confusion, are a rebellion against God's reign. And so I think the psalmist uses this imagery of the seas as well, not just to convey chaos, but an ambiguity that allows us, invites us in to make the chaos of the seas our chaos. Chaos that rages in and around us and that causes us to question God's reign in our lives. But then we read in verses 4 and 5. Now this one, I've gone with the ESV and I'll explain soon. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your decrees are trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forever. The Lord on high is mighty. He is mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the chaos of our lives, heartache, the unknown of this world. Our God is mightier, for he is the Lord who reigns. And his word, the way that he tells us to live, is trustworthy. The promises found in Scripture are trustworthy. So the NIV, if you have that, it uses the word stand. Stand firm. God's word has stood firm and continues to stand firm. It remains trustworthy despite the test of time. Despite the challenges to its authority by every coming and going fad, every challenge that occurs, it remains true. And we see that, don't we? Time and time again, challenges to God's word has come and then they fade. Yet God's word remains. When things are going wrong, when we question where God is, what could he possibly be doing? And we doubt God, we blame God, we accuse him of being silent. And yet, for me, I find in these times, my Bible remains closed. His word remains shut. And what this psalm reveals is that Scripture reveals the unwavering faithfulness of God, the eternal King. He has revealed himself to us, his creation, through his word. And when we envelop ourselves in the King's words, instead of letting ourselves be enveloped by the chaos of this world, we begin to understand that God, we begin to understand who God is and how in him we can find peace. Just as we trust in his kingly authority and power to hold this world together, we trust that he holds this world together. We trust that each breath will be followed by the next. So too can we trust in God's word. We anchor our lives in the chaos, in the turmoil of the seas, in his word, which guides and directs us. It equips us and enables us to make the right decisions in life when it's not clear. Godly choices, despite the confusion. And as we read the word of God, we bear witness to his uncompromising faithfulness to Israel. We bear witness to his promises of restoration. We sung about it this morning as he ushers in his kingdom. And we see this so clearly through the promise and provision and victory of our Savior Jesus Christ. In Matthew 8, if you want to read with me, it's Matthew 8, 20, 23, 24. And we see this picture of Jesus, where initially he's asleep in the boat and waves are raging. The storm is chaotic and the disciples are in distress. And the seas look like they're going to consume the boat, Jesus, and the disciples. And the disciples cry out, "Jesus, Lord." And we read that he stands on the prow of the boat and he says, "Be still." And the waves calm and the winds die down. Matthew 8:27 then says, the disciples were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this that even the waves and winds obey him?" Jesus is Lord. He is the Lord who reigns. God who became flesh, who dwelt with his people, with his creation, suffered temptation but did not submit, living the perfect life so that he might submit himself to death on the cross. Jesus is Lord. He is our King, and by the power he uses to hold his world together, he conquered sin and death, rising from the dead, rising from the grave, conquering it, and ascending to the heavenly realms, where he mediates for us, our King who fights for us. Our King is living and active in our lives today, amidst the chaos. Our King Jesus has liberated us from the consequences of sin so that the chaos of this world will not consume us. It will not destroy us. In him we have been resurrected and have eternal life. In him we find hope in those dark moments. He has not abandoned us to the swirling seas of doubt. The one who calmed the storm in Matthew 8, is the Lord who reigns and is powerful to calm the storm in your life. And now for some of you, God might heal and resolve the chaos and struggles of your life today. Our time in London was so formative and humbled me and brought me to a place where my relationship with God was not before. He used that time to draw me closer to him and direct me where I am today. But for some of us, you may not experience that. Not in this life. You may be sitting here today and you're staring down a dark tunnel and you cannot see the light at the end. In those times of chaos, God gives us his word to cling to. The truth that God is eternal, and so our perspective needs to be eternal. God's word is trustworthy, and he has promised you a future where there will be no more chaos, where it will cease to exist. Your troubles, your concern, your health afflictions will be no more. And you will not be tossed to and fro by the waves of chaos. A day is coming when Christ will return, and there will be no more waves of sorrows or troubles that seek to overcome us, because He is trustworthy. His word is trustworthy, and it declares that He will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain. But what about now? What do we do as the seas rage around us now and we are waiting? Well, I think as Israel did when they were waiting, they came together as a collective, as a people of God. And we are the people of God. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. And so as the body of Christ, as we wait for the day of our Lord's return, together let us sing this psalm, pray this psalm, speak this psalm over one another, standing together in our trials, together in our hardship, in the truth of God's word. We are meant to be a burden on each other. The world has sold us this lie that you are meant to be independent and by yourself. We are the body of Christ who are meant to be together, working together. This is a praise psalm for times of trial. When amidst chaos, we remember that we worship a king that is victorious, a king that has conquered sin and death and is clothed in majesty, a king whose strength holds together this world and is restoring His creation. He is making all things new. He has set the limits of the sea and limits the rebellion of this world. His word is true and trustworthy. The chaos of this world is futile. It will not reign. It will not last. And it will not have the last say. Although it disrupts our lives now, this passage urges us to trust in God's reign and to trust in His plan, not in our confusion and pain. This passage confronts us to make a choice every day. Every day. Will we trust who God says He is and that He is in control and knows what He's doing? Will we as a people trust and declare that our Lord reigns? So hopefully not for the last time, but for the last time of this talk, I'd like us all again to, as the body of Christ, to announce that the Lord reigns. So on three, one, two, three, the Lord reigns. Amen. All right, let me pray for us. Our Lord who reigns. Lord God, I pray that in the darkness, in the midst of our trials and the chaos and confusion, Lord, that Your Spirit be so active and present in our lives. And Lord, may You use us, Your body, to support one another, to be there for one another, to hold each other up when we feel like we are collapsing. Lord, use Your people boldly. Lord, may we sing this psalm together. May we declare that You reign each day and every day for the rest of eternity. We pray this in Your Son's precious name. Amen.